Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. So today, we are going to talk about bringing your kids to restaurants. Ah! So the reason I want to talk about this is because I feel like we all got in, and maybe some of us are still in this lull while your state is still shut down. But here in Wisconsin,
we're opening back up. Yeah.
We're back to like it is normal. And I feel this hesitance whenever I consider bringing the kids out to eat, because I'm just like, oh, I feel like everybody's gonna be a whole thing, and these kids have not been trained to eat out in a restaurant.
They're just animals.
Exactly. So I thought it was a good topic to discuss. But before we get into that, mom moment of the week. You go first.
Okay. So I've had a couple of bad ones where I talk about mom failing. So I have a really good one though that made me feel like a million bucks. So I believe it was one of our episodes that we already recorded where I talked about Joe just being very super social when we went to the park and stuff. So we went to the park and we had started to do our round around our walk around the little pond, and Joe made the decision that he wanted to go the opposite way. Which really gets me, because I like to just
do things the same way.
Right, right. But, you know, I'm trying to show him flexibility and stuff. So I'm like, all right, dude, we can do it that way. And along behind us comes the guy on his bike and his girl on the scooter that we met the previous week or the week before or something like that. Okay. And they pass us and then they stop a little ahead of us. And right away, the guy says, "Hey, Joe," which warms my mommy heart.
Yeah.
Anyway, because he like remembered. He's like, "Hey, do you want to help us feed the ducks and the geese?" And Joe's like, "Yeah." And so he gives them some bread and shares, and they're sitting there talking. And I'm not going to lie, I felt good about myself already just because I cracked a really good joke. Like, almost a dad joke. One of the geese was being mean and he went and bit another one of the geese like in the butt, and I laughed and said, "Ha, he got goosed," which made the other parents that's what Dan did too. He totally rolled his eyes. He's like, "You're so dumb," but it made everybody there laugh. So I was like, whatever. I feel justified. And so so we did that, and then we continued. Joe kind of talked because there were some other kids that joined, and I had to actually pull him back because he was going to just like go from person to person that had stuff to feed the ducks. And I'm like, "No, we're done now. We got to do our walk." But he was talking and kind of just socializing with everybody. And as we were finishing up our loop, one of the moms that had been there passed by us, and he was running ahead of me. So he had stopped and was talking to her. And as she passed me, she said, "You have such a great little boy. He is so social and kind. You're doing such a great job, Mom." It's like, yeah, yes, I am. But then when we went over to the park to play, Joe right away started to go up to climb up the slide, which this is not a huge deal for me, but it was busy. So I was gaining his attention, and I said, "Hey, buddy, there's a lot of kids, so we're not going to climb up the slide. Slides are for only going down right now." And he wouldn't acknowledge me. So I'm like, "Did you hear me? What are you going to do?" And he's like, "Mom, I'm fine. I'll go down the slide. Go sit down now." And I did not correct him because it made me laugh. I'm such a super bad parent about that stuff. If it makes me laugh, I don't correct him. So, and some of the other moms kind of giggled. They're like, "Well, he's done with you now." I'm like, yeah. So, but Joe like went and introduced himself to each and every one of the little kids and asked them for their names. And so like he tried to get all of them to play with him and like include them all in the play. And I had to actually say to him a couple of times, "Hey, Joe, it doesn't look like that one is interested in wanting to play what you want to play. So let's just play with
leave
those." Right. There's this other group that still wants to play with you though. So, and then one of the moms got out a bucket of chalk, and Joe sat down and played, and there was some scuffle because one of the girls was trying to hoard. And to be honest, Joe was hoarding as well. Mm-hmm. And so I went over to him and said, "Hey, you got to throw some of this back." And he did. But then he just sat there and quietly played and talked to like engaged with the other kids that were sitting there. So then as we were getting ready to leave, one of the moms, I think it was the one that brought the chalk. It was one of the two of them brought the chalk, but the one, she's like, "He's such a good little boy. I just love how friendly he is." Yeah. But that's not even the end. We go to like walk across the street to get into the car, and Joe sees these two older ladies. I'm not real old. I'd say maybe 50s. And they're sitting underneath the covered canopy thing, just talking. And they had been getting ready to go for a walk when we finished up our walk. And I'm like, "All right, Joe, let's get into the car." Well, he's like, "Okay, just a minute, Mom." And he walks right past the car and he walks over to the ladies and he's like, "Hey, my name is Joe. What's your name?" And so the one lady told him her name, and then the other lady just kind of stared at him and he goes, "Okay," and he like bounces his hand up and down and he's like, "And what's your name?" And the lady just laughed. She's like, "That's so funny." She's like, "He's so cute." And so she told him his name, and then he just like launches into a conversation with them. And then when he was done, he goes off and was playing, and the lady, she's like, "I don't know." She's, "But you're doing a great job, Mom. He's such a good, likable, social kid." I'm like, "You all need to come home with me. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." And she's like, you've got someone. He's going to either be a great politician or he's going to change the world somehow." And I'm like,
Yes, he is.
Like, I went home feeling like I was on top of the world, because not only did I get the greatest one-liner in about a dumb goose, but I got three separate compliments, plus somebody we had met previously still remembered my son's name and like carried on a conversation with him. So it was like, I don't know, It was just a really great mom moment for me. So mom moment of the week.
That's like mom moment of the month. Like, listen, I went to the park and I got 3 separate compliments about how great my kid is.
I mean, and this was in the middle of like the terrorizing detoxing screen time stuff. So, I mean, it was one of those moments that makes you realize that even though the struggle was super hard and real, that it was worth the struggle so that your kid could get out of whatever funk he was in.
But do you feel like his personality is so much more what it used to be now that he doesn't have that addiction as strongly?
Absolutely. And I will say, just because recently, so this happened not this last week, but the week before when we went to the park. This week I was letting him, if he was good, watch an episode of Ryan on YouTube, not just Ryan and Prime, which is a little more filtered. He was able to pick an episode from YouTube, which is not as filtered. And his attitude started to pick back up again. Just, I mean, he told me there was a couple of times where I was trying to correct him on something and he like cut me off, even did the like the hand thing, "Mom, enough, I'm done with you." And so the one day he said it, on Thursday he said it to me. I'm like, fine, no more Ryan for the rest of the week. We're not. And so like, I'm like, that means no Ryan on Prime, no Ryan on YouTube, wherever you can find Ryan, you ain't going to be watching it, buddy. So, and the yesterday back to the same happy little sociable kid, like he would just walk up to me randomly and be like, "Mommy, I really love you."
Isn't that mind-boggling?
It really is a testament to, and not that I think that Ryan is a super terrible kid or something. I just think that some of the stuff that's on their more recent shows is too mature.
Well, and I also think it's just like the stimulation.
It is the stimulation. YouTube. Yep.
Where with the like constant scene changing and the constant action, the constant whatever, it does, you know, trigger that chemical release in their brain that like.
To keep going.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, so John used to, okay, so my mom moment. My mom moment, it's kind of funny, that's where we went. So my mom moment is, so I don't know how deeply we've gotten into it on the podcast, but John used to have like a very severe YouTube addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point where like all I had to hear about was the stupid YouTubers, and like he would just watch it all day, every day. Like he wouldn't want to go outside because of YouTube and whatever. And like it got to the point with him where like he was only allowed to watch it in the morning before school.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only time he was allowed to watch YouTube. And my mom moment is now that he's broken of the YouTube habit, that he's back to going outside. Because last year, and even during like the spring more, he wouldn't go outside because he wanted to stay inside and watch YouTube. Like his dad would be going like to the gas station, which the kids love to go to the gas station. We're gas station people. We go like once or twice, sometimes 3 times a day. We drink a lot of fountain drinks.
They taste better.
Yeah, they do. For sure they do. And he'd be like, "Do you want to go to the gas station?" John's like, "No, I'm fine. I'm going to stay here and watch YouTube." And it's just like, so I don't think he's watched YouTube in like 2 weeks, maybe even
That's
more.
Amazing.
And it's just like, he'll ask like, "Can we go outside?" Like he literally just asked like,
"I was going to say just on our break, when we took a little short break between recording episodes, he just asked you that." That's amazing. And I don't disagree, because that's because we did the show on like the screen time and everything. And that's kind of one of the things that, I mean, Joel lived, ate, and breathed his gameplay, his YouTube, his, and he did, it was to the point where we'd say, "Hey, let's go outside." "No, I'm fine." It must be a boy thing to say that. "No, I'm fine."
Yeah.
"No, you're not." But since cutting him off, it's, "I want to go outside and play with the chalk."
Right.
"I want to go outside and I want to do this." I'm like, oh, God.
playing with his like art supplies. He's been bringing them out independently, me not like strong arming him into coloring.
Mommy, can I get my magic sand out?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Can we play a board game? Yep. Yes, we can. Yeah. Yes. Anything to not have to watch Ryan again. I'm all for it. So
it's kind of just, it blows my mind. It does. It completely blows my mind. I just can't.
To see the difference. Yeah. It's like a huge, huge. And to be honest, when going into having a kid, I was just like, whatever. You guys are just so extreme. All the people that are like, no, they can get addicted to it. I'm like, no. And then I'm like,
it's,
well,
kind of dramatic.
I have a 4-year-old that's addicted to Mario. Maybe they weren't wrong. Right. But yeah, a whole personality change.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I really just think it's the way that, because I'm not going to say like, he stopped watching YouTube, so we stopped watching TV, period. That's not factual.
No.
But it's just something with the way that the videos are made on YouTube.
Well, like you said, it's constantly flashing. It's constantly changing. It's one right after the other.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's my mom moment. All right. So we're going to get into this week's topic, which is eating out with your kids. So I will say that I've worked in the service industry. I was a hostess when I was younger. I was a waitress. I was a bartender, whatever. So I absolutely have been in a restaurant where kids have been complete menaces and just horrible. Okay. So I'm not talking about like kids being naughty and throwing temper tantrums to the nth degree, or kids running into the kitchen of a restaurant or running behind the bar. Like, those to me are like extreme behavioral issues,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yes.
If your kid's screaming at the top of their lungs and throwing a temper tantrum for 25 minutes, like, come on, guys.
A bathroom conversation needs to be had.
Let's be reasonable. Yep. Exactly. But like, general children actions,
kids just being kids, yeah,
are more what I want to discuss.
Okay.
So my brother and my sister-in-law one time went out to eat with some of their family. And at the time, they had kids with them. Not my brother and sister-in-law. I don't know that they have kids at this time. I don't really know. Maybe they did. But they had kids with their group that were like 3 or 4 years old. Okay, maybe 4 and 5, something like that. They stayed at this restaurant for 4 hours.
Oh my God. Like, I already know where this is going.
How unreasonable is that? So by the end of this meal, none of the adults have had a good time. The kids have not had a good time. The restaurant is like at their wit's end,
right,
with these people, because they brought these kids to this restaurant and brought nothing for them to do.
So they made something for themselves to do, which was probably run around and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect kids to do if you're bringing them to a restaurant with nothing? Mm. Like, come on, guys. So now that the states have been opening back up, I feel like, if you're like me, I mean, when we went into shutdown, I had barely older than a 6-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
Now Rayla's going to be 2 next month. Okay. I can count on one hand how many times this girl has been in a high chair in a restaurant.
Right.
Like, it's just not that many times.
Right.
And the boys are out of practice in being in restaurants too, because it's been so long since they've had to sit in a restaurant. They just don't understand the social construct of like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So my knee-jerk reaction now is just like, I don't want to bring them out.
It's funny, because when you messaged me yesterday, that was my exact thought. Is, I mean, I don't have a problem with, I mean, I think kids should go to the restaurant, but do I want to take them to the restaurant? No.
Exactly. So as a parent, I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have perfect kids in the restaurant.
It's just never going to happen.
And it's never going to happen, because like, your kids are at home. How many times are they perfect at home?
Single childless me really had some ideas about how perfect kids should be, and my kid would never. I'm not going to lie. Confession time. I honestly was just like one of those people that was like, my kid will never act like that in public. And now I'm being punished because of how naughty my husband was, and God is punishing him, and I get the side punishment from it. So
I think it's karma. Karma's come back to be like, well,
right?
You know,
we're going to get both of you. So yeah, I was definitely that judgy person, but now I'm more of a, you can't control that.
Well, and the thing is like, I think it's unfair. Like in most situations, like if a kid makes noise or a kid's laugh, I have had people like get upset because our kid is laughing too loud. Like, you know, those people,
mm-hmm.
you've seen those people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, guys, if we were drunk adults right now and we were laughing too loud, you'd be totally fine with it.
Right.
Like,
but they're under the belief that children should be seen and not heard.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
I don't have time for that.
Nope. That's too much work.
Well, not only that, but like, guys,
they're human too. How do you
expect kids to have manners if they're not taught manners? Or put in a situation where they have to learn, like, that's not an appropriate thing to do.
Right.
If you want us to just raise a bunch of Neanderthals who go through life with no anything.
Right. Well, and I don't want to create a people pleaser and just someone who follows the rules. I mean, I want him to be able to, I mean, as much as it drives me crazy, I want him to test boundaries.
Yeah.
And learn in the moment. Like you said, learn in the moment. I don't want him to just sit and quietly fold his hands and wait for his meal just because that's what I told him to do.
And it's just not going to happen. Like, no kid is going to do that.
I don't even do that.
Right?
So.
Exactly. So, I'm going to read an article that's like, and we'll talk about the article after I go through it because I'm not in love with everything in it. But it's 10 tips for eating out with younger kids. Number one, practice at home first. Number two, choose your restaurant carefully. Number three, respect your kids' attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, time it right.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is bring activities to keep them busy.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is don't count out appetizers. Number seven, consider this a family date night. Number eight is set expectations ahead of time. Number nine is, if the spaghetti flies, stay calm. And number 10 is practice, practice, practice.
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about this.
All right. So welcome back. The first thing that I want to say that is interesting to me about this article is the fact that we have never play pretend restaurant at home.
No.
Like, this is how you sit in a restaurant, blah, 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 blah. That's just never been us. I don't know. That seems to be, I mean, based on this one article, that seems to be like a common thing that they recommend to kind of like play restaurant at home. And I mean, we play restaurant as in like, they bring me the same slice of pizza 47 times and I have to pretend to eat it because it's actually plastic.
Right.
And, you know, they're the chef. But
I was going to say, that's the only type of pretend thing I do. And
yeah,
I'm pretty critical about the food that I eat.
Right. And you're going to give me some plastic garbage. You're going to hear the.
I've told you 300 times I don't like fish.
Right.
But you keep bringing me fish.
So, but the thing is like, if I really. Like, I just don't know that it would work. Like, let's pretend we're in a nice restaurant.
I don't disagree with that because there's so much of a difference between pretending at home where it's just you and being in a restaurant with all kinds of distraction,
right?
Noises and
the food tastes different. You get served to it by a stranger. Right. Like, our big thing that I do, like, when we do go out to restaurants that I enforce to them is like, they need to order their own thing. Once they're old enough to talk, order your own food.
Right.
Speak loudly, speak clearly, make your own decisions. Like, I'm not trying to order a ham and Swiss sandwich for my 14-year-old when we go to Panera. That's a true story. No.
Nope.
Order your own food.
You want to be an adult.
You want to be a human. Yeah, you want to go out to eat?
Yep.
Order your own food.
Order your own food.
So the practice at home, I'm like, meh. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not all about that life. The second one is choose your restaurant carefully. So I can go both ways on this one.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, I can go, if you are at like a bougie steakhouse that is like crazy expensive and you're out for a date night, you don't want to be bothered. You're paying for the ambiance.
Right.
But I also look at it like, if say it's my 25th wedding anniversary and I want all of my kids and grandkids to come out to eat with me and I'm dropping $2,000 between all of us.
Yep.
And there are babies in that party. In my mind, I'm like, listen, I just dropped $2,000. You're going to listen to my grandchild cry.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's how I feel about it. Is it's like, I can see both sides because
Right. Really,
what is the line between, I mean, let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant and people were acting crazy next to me because they were drunk or they were just obnoxious or whatever. Like, seriously, you ever been out to eat with Lisette? You know how loud she is?
Yes.
And
I was
like,
gonna say, I was probably the one being loud and not obnoxious.
Exactly. But the thing is like, when I go out to eat with Lisette, we're loud.
Right.
We talk loud. We laugh loud. We cry loud. We like, it's outrageous.
It's loud. Yeah.
It's loud.
No, I completely agree, because there's those friends that you just.
Yeah.
I mean.
You're going to be loud.
I mean, we're emotional people, so Right? We're just going to let it out.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, what restaurant, because let me tell you, if I went out to eat with all of these people and I was spending all of this money and my kid started crying, like having a tantrum, like a crazy tantrum for 30 minutes, like, okay, I can accept that anywhere. But like, I mean, I remember one time we were at Red Robin and the table, like we had John and Malcolm was little, like probably less than 2 or 3 months old. And the table next to us had a newborn baby. It was like a couple, a newborn baby, and then probably one of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby started crying and the mom left and they leaned over to us and they're like, we're so sorry that the baby was crying.
Oh,
and I was like, is that the first time you guys have like gone out with the baby? And they're like, yeah, the baby's only a week old, you know, this is her favorite restaurant. And I was like, listen, you need to develop a thicker skin.
Right.
Nobody's judging you, and if they are, they need to mind their own business.
Right.
Because like, it's a newborn baby, you just pushed a watermelon out of your hoo-ha. Like,
right.
You can sit down to eat at your favorite restaurant, they can hear the baby squawk a little bit. It wasn't excessive, it was just like, you know.
And honestly, newborn baby cry is so much different than a 3-year-old cries.
Right?
It's cute.
Even than a 6-month-old cry. It's like, it sounds like a, I don't know, like a Jurassic Park dinosaur cry.
Yes, exactly.
You know exactly what I mean.
Yes, I do. I remember, I'll just side note this, I remember when Joe was fairly new. I think he was maybe 2 or 3 months in somebody's, or no, he was end of September. In November, we had the leadership meeting. So he was about maybe going on 2 months. And he was fussing after our leadership meeting was over. And it was that, wah, wah. And the one, it was just annoying me to no end. And one of the guys in our church was just like, isn't that just the sweetest cry? I'm like, oh my God, no, it's not. He's like, oh, if you think this is bad, just wait. It gets louder.
And worse. That's factual.
It is factual. So if you have a newborn, take them in public now, because nobody cares if they cry.
It's true. It sounds fantastic. The The next thing is respect your kids' attention span. And I mean, I kind of told that story about, you know, when the kids were brought to that restaurant, they were there for 4 hours. They didn't have anything to do. Like, that's outrageous. But I will say that I don't love the idea behind, like, kids aren't allowed to be bored. Kids aren't allowed to, you know, sometimes kids do have to be bored. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me tell you, studying at the DMV is boring. And they're going to have to be bored in life. So I don't think that I have to bring a 3-ring circus with me every time we go somewhere.
I don't have to hand over my...
My phone!
My phone every time they're a little bored.
Right.
This is...
We're do about to land on the pamphlet that you were given by Applebee's.
An argument between my husband and I all the time. Just like, but he's bored. He's asking for it. He's crying for it. And I told him no. So.
I'm bored. Entertain me.
Right. Exactly.
Dance, big man, dance. Like... I don't get entertained when I'm bored.
Right. And so I think that that's my angst. I mean, you want to bring them a coloring book or whatever, and they get bored with whatever you've brought for them to do. That's on them then. I'm tired. I get tired of the, we have to constantly have something in front of their eyes, keeping them busy just so that they're not bothering me. No.
Well, see, and I'm also under the belief that, like, I'll bring something for them to do, but it's backup. Like, they get those coloring sheets at restaurants.
Right.
When you're done with that, then we'll talk.
Right.
This isn't like, I'm too good for this coloring sheet. I don't want to play connect the dots. It's like, right.
These are the things we're doing. And if you don't like that, then.
You can sit there quietly.
Yep.
You do you, buddy. I'm just going to ignore you.
Right. Yep. And if you choose to make poor decisions from this, then we'll go to the bathroom and have a discussion.
Right. With my hair. The next one is time it right. I can get on board with this somewhat, like, don't bring a 3-year-old out at 10 o'clock at night and then get upset that they throw a fit. Like, okay, fine.
Right.
Or, like, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, loose on nap time a lot of the times. If I'm out doing something, like, I'm not going to let nap time rule my life.
It's easier now for me. And I know we've discussed this.
Yeah.
It's easier now for me now that Joe is older, because he tends to act like less of a jerk if he's tired. And but there was, up until he was probably about a year and a half, if I was not sitting down and holding him for nap time, it was a little over a year. I think he was like a year and 2 months or something like that. I was finally able to lay him down. But before that, I had to be holding him. And how can you eat and hold a kid at the same time?
Yeah, you
can. So it was just perfectly miserable taking him anywhere. I love you, Joe, in case you're listening to this in the year 2035.
So the note under here says, you may not be hungry at 5, but account for the drive and your wait for the food. It may be 5:45 or later before you eat. I can't agree with that, because I can't tell you how many times I'll be like, well, let's go somewhere at 4:30. And somebody's like, kids aren't going to eat at 4:30. I'm like, by the time we get there, sit down, order our drinks, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be at least 5:30.
My husband and I have this conversation just eating at home.
Yep.
Like at 11 o'clock, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to start making lunch. Well, I'm not hungry yet. Okay. Number one, I didn't ask if you were hungry yet. I'm just kidding. I don't say that to him. But by the time you get done making it, it's going to be like an hour, and then the food is ready at noon.
Yeah.
If I wait till noon, then it will be one, and then you'll be complaining because I waited till one to feed you. So no, I don't disagree with that. You got to make the plans around, you got to pad your cushion there.
Right, exactly. Number 5 is bring activities to keep them busy. We kind of already talked about that. Number six is don't count out appetizers. Consider ordering a kid-friendly appetizer as soon as you're seated, or if the restaurant allows outside food, bring a small bag of grapes or crackers to take the edge off your kids' hunger as they wait. I don't know. There have been times that this has bit me in the butt. Because I'll order an appetizer and then they won't want to eat their dinner, or I'll order their dinner as soon as we sit down and then they'll eat it, and then like I haven't even gotten my food yet and they're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
And they'll like rain holy terror down upon you while you're just trying to like get a bite in here or there,
right?
Yes.
And let me be real honest, I don't like kid appetizers. I'm not a big mozzarella stick person.
Yeah, I don't know at what age I grew out of mozzarella sticks, but I
apologize for the background noise. Apparently my 3-year-old is getting his toenails ripped off.
There is some form of torture going on in this house, but we're gonna just sit quietly here in this room.
I only said something because he like walked right by the door and you could tell that he like leaned over into the door to make sure I heard that he was crying. The torture stopped. I don't know what happened.
Just raise the level of drama just a little.
Right.
I'm sorry. So
kid, we were talking about mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not a mozzarella stick person. In fact, if I'm going to have an appetizer, my husband's really big on like, he likes the nachos and stuff. I'm like, I can eat that stuff at home. I mean, I do like nachos, but it has to be from certain places.
Yeah.
And if I get them, I'd prefer to just have it as my meal versus an appetizer. So I don't know. Joe's not a big appetizer person either.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of appetizers with the kids. Consider this a family date night. This was stupid to me. I didn't understand the point of it. Like, duh. So we can move on. Thank you, article, for your wisdom.
I mean, why wouldn't you consider that if you're taking
all their family out to a restaurant? Thank you. Consider it a family date night. Thank you for the suggestion. Number eight is set expectations ahead of time. So this one, I don't know. I feel like different restaurants, we have different expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes different people, we have different expectations. See, if we're in a booth at a restaurant, I don't care if the kids are standing on the seat.
Right.
I care if they're twirling and singing and jumping on the seat.
Or hanging their head over the other side of the booth, letting food drop out their mouths on top of the other person.
Yeah. Yes, I have a problem with that.
This has happened to me.
But I don't have a problem with like them standing on the booth right next to me because they're kind of tiny people and they can't really reach the table. So they get frustrated or whatever.
Right.
So that doesn't really bother me. But like, the in and out of their chair thing, I just feel like, I mean, I don't, it's so hard. Every restaurant I feel like is different. Depends where they seat you. It depends like how crowded you are. And it depends what kind of food you have.
Yeah.
Like if you're at a restaurant that, you know, has like Maggiano's has like family style.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're going to eat family style, the rules of the restaurant are just different.
Right.
So, or if you're at a place where you're getting pizza and like, I'm sure my 3-year-old is not going to like pass their plate down the table. Can I have another slice of pizza, please? They're probably going to get up with their mouth shoved full of food and they're going to come over and spit on me and ask me for more food.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that, I think that there's just different things as far as expectations to set.
I think, not having a kid, like I definitely have a different idea of how kids should behave in restaurants. Before it was just like, this was one of those, my kids will never, but my kid was the one leaning over
did you hear that personal story about when he leaned his mouth over and spit his food out on other people?
It was horrifying. And they were good. They just laughed. They're like, hey, he's just a kid. You know, these things happen.
But they could have been.
They could have been stupid, irate, and like ignorant about it when I was already mortified and ready to die.
Right.
But I think that, I mean, there are people out there who definitely get uptight about stuff, that type of stuff. But I think when you first have your kids, especially, maybe relax a little, because not as many people out there are judging you as you may think.
It's true. Well, and then like, this has nothing to do with bringing my kids out to eat, but it was a really good story about just like, it, I don't know. So I was a server and I was working at a restaurant. And I was bringing a tray of drinks, like alcoholic drinks, to a table, and I was passing them out, and I was like standing behind one of the rows. It was like a big party, and something happened. Like, my tray got knocked and a strawberry frozen margarita fell on this like 8-year-old girl. Like, not down her hair, but like down
the front
her,
of her, yeah.
Down the front of her and on one of her shoulders. And I was mortified. I almost started crying because I was just like, oh my gosh, there's like 20 people sitting here. They're going to be so angry at me. And I was like, I mean, obviously it was an accident and I felt horrible. So like, helped clean her up. Like, you know, we obviously got another drink. Like, I comped, you know, we comped like 4 appetizers. Like, it was ridiculous what we did. And, but the parents like could have reacted like jerks.
Right.
And they for sure could have been mean to me and they could have complained about me and whatever. But like, they didn't. They were just like, no, it was an accident. Like, it's fine. She's okay. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal. So I will say, like, even on the other end of, if you're going to bring kids out to a restaurant, realize that like,
Accidents happen
too. I mean, you know, sometimes your kid's food's gonna touch when you ask them to make sure their food doesn't touch, and then you gotta live with it, guys. Roll with the punches.
I'm just gonna judge anybody that makes that request anyway.
All of the time. Please put all of their food on separate plates, or put it on the same plate, but make sure it's not touching. It cannot be touching.
I know I shouldn't judge, but I just know that that would be such a difficult thing to do.
It is. Oh, for sure it is. So number 9 was, if the spaghetti flies stay calm. If your child can see that her behavior is bothering you, she's more likely to escalate that poor behavior to engage you in a power struggle. Remain unfazed by her behavior and follow through with the consequences you discussed during your training. Listen. I don't play the power struggle game with my kids. If they do something that I don't want them to do, I will physically drag them outside or to the bathroom or whatever, depending which one I'm closer to. To take care of the situation. I'm not going to have a power struggle with a 3-year-old. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
If they're acting like an idiot, they're going to get punished. I'm not going to sit there and be like, well,
I have definitely had those times of with Joe dramatic screaming behind me. No, Mom, please don't spank me. You're just going to make it worse right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, smiling at
you, better asking way. You better be asking Jesus for some grace right now.
I don't disagree. I won't. I mean, and he, especially now that he's getting older, he's very much like his dad, and both him and his dad have this thing where if they know that it's bothering you, they continue to like poke the bear. And I'm like, his dad I can't punish. I mean, I can, but I can make his life miserable, but I will not allow my son to grow up treating people that way. And that's kind of one of the things that we have dealt with in public situations of, you're not going to keep doing that just because you think it's funny to get me mad. You want to get me mad? We can go into the bathroom and discuss this.
Like civilized people.
And I mean, I'm happy to grit at you, grit my teeth at you as I talk in the bathroom to keep it all low and everything, but we're not going to act like this in public.
Right.
I mean, but that's my overall thought about not even just eating in restaurants. That's any public displays. You want to poke the bear, come at me.
It's true, though. I feel the same way about, like, when we go to the grocery store and they're going to act like a fool. It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
In what world can you knock four boxes of cereal down and think that that's okay? Get back over here and pick them up. Yeah. Like,
but it's so hard. Can you help me? Absolutely not.
Did I not down the cereal? Don't think so.
It must be an age thing because Joe has never ever said this to me in his life, but lately he's been doing that. It's so hard.
He's been spending too much time with my kids.
Oh my God.
Life's hard. Suck it up.
Exactly. You weren't saying it was hard when you were making the mess.
Right? So number 10 is practice, practice, practice. And this is like, make sure to practice at home, which we kind of already covered. But I will say that, like, the more you go out to eat with your kids, I feel like the easier it gets. They do learn, like, a certain level of decorum and what the expectations are. But, I mean, like I said before, I've gone out to restaurants with adults. And it's just, like, between the manners and, like, the ridiculous. Listen, my dad... Oh my gosh. When I was younger, I don't know if he still does it now because he lives in California and we don't see each other that much. He used to like drink all of his soda. Okay. So plastic cup, there's ice at the bottom. Soda's gone. He would hold it up and shake it.
Oh my God.
At the server.
Oh my God.
True story.
How many of you were worried about stuff getting spit in your food and drinks? Oh my God.
So I'm just saying, it's not always the kids you got to worry about. Go out to eat with an old white male. I have a couple you can borrow. It is mortifying. You spend the entire experience just apologizing to the waitress. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Like, he's just 100 years old. He's rude. I'm sorry. Like, I know you don't want to hear about his irritable bowel syndrome. I have to hear about it too. I'm sorry, man.
Right. I apologize for the passive aggressive sexist statements,
right?
Gender statements, racist statements.
Right. You must be a waitress with that nose. What are you doing? So, you know, it's worse going out to eat with old people than it is kids. If you can survive going out to eat with old people, you will survive kids 100 times.
Oh, that just made me feel so much better about every time I take Joe out and he acts like a jerk. Because it's so true. I cannot tell you how many times Dan and I have been with, like, family members that just act totally out of control.
Right?
And we're just like, I just want to crawl out of here right now.
So it's okay if your kid, like, you know, throws their chicken tender on the floor.
It's, yeah. I mean, better than insulting the waitress who's going to be bringing out your food.
Right. Oh my gosh. All right. So recommendations.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first.
Okay.
So my recommendation is, so a couple of years back, my husband and I mean, I'm talking like 3 or 4 years back, my husband and my son planted some mulberry seeds and they grew really quickly. And like now they grow in our yard and they pick them in the summer and they make jam. So my recommendation is find something in your area and climate and whatever that grows fast that you can kind of turn into like yours and your kids' plant, I guess, and like make an activity out of it because they really, really love it. And I know that like here they do, my son and my husband do it with chives too. They grow chives in our yard. So whenever we can eat something with chives, like John gets so excited to go out and pull out his chives and whatever. And both those things are super low maintenance and it's not like super crazy. But yeah, so that's my recommendation. Look up something that grows quickly in your climate and plant some plants with your kid. I'm not talking about a garden, guys. Okay. Right. We're not that fancy here. Michelle's fancy. She's got enough garden for like 14 different people.
For a couple families.
Yeah.
You know that. I love that recommendation.
Yeah.
I will say that part of our garden is annual, just stuff that grows again on it. And like you said, low maintenance. Like I got to come in and prune a branch off every once in a while and that's it. So I really love that recommendation. My recommendation is it's a specific author for kids' books. And I love them. I have almost every one of his books. We're in June now. He has a new one coming out. I know this won't be until we won't be playing this until you'll be hearing this in like August, I think.
September.
But he has a
new book. It's June 13th right now.
He has a new book coming out. But I love all of his books. Like the one that I first read that I really loved is What Do You Do With an Idea?
Mm-hmm.
And have you read it's the name of the author is Kobe Yamada. I may be saying that last name wrong, but I'm just gonna make it up and say Yamada. But it's about this boy who has an idea, and at first he's like, I don't know what to do with it, what do I do? And then he comes and people kind of make fun of the idea. The idea is just kind of following him around, and then he's embarrassed, but then he realizes that as he lets it go, it continues to grow and get bigger, and eventually it comes to, well, what do you do with an idea? You let it change the world.
And
but he's got, I mean, like, What Do You Do With an Idea? There's a book about trying that is also, it's called Trying. What Do You Do With a Chance? What You Do Matters. I mean, they're all like those encouraging, be your own person, go out and do something and change the world type books.
Yeah, so I'm all about that.
I'm a big fan of Kobe Yamada's.
So we'll have some links on our Amazon affiliate store for some of his books.
Yeah.
That's a good recommendation. I always love the book recommendations.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bun Mamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is messy poop.
Messy buns, you silly.